accept the certificate as improperly noted?
Yes.
Is there a motion to accept the certificate?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
So here, a motion to approve the second?
Second.
So moved? Oh, excuse me. All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any communications with the board? None? I welcome you to the Board of Adjustment. Today we have with us Dan Kettner, David Allen, and Nick Lennon, wife, chair. I think that's four cases. Or conservation plan zoning. So today we have four cases. Each of us will be as follows. Members of Planning and Zoning staff will present the facts and the background of the case. Applicant will be invited to speak to the committee. All individuals in favor will be invited to speak to the committee. Individuals opposed will be invited. Individuals as interest here. And individuals in any of the categories, like after you've heard of others, we ask that in yourself you'll be sworn in. Yeah. One at a time. The statements are recorded, so please from the audience. Show us an exhibit, we will for our files. At the end of the testimony, the public hearing part of the case closed. We will go into deliberation. At that time, a exhibit or on certified letter of the board's findings, decision, applicant.
I do. Dave Lorenz, Stock County Planning and Zoning. This request is for a special exception permit to authorize filling and gratings on slopes of more than 20% during the construction of a new residence. Property is located in the Shoreland Protection Zoning District, real estate described as E4528 West Redstone Drive, Lot 1, a certified survey map 5921. Part of the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 24, Town 13 North, Range 3 East, in the town of Laval. Previous permits, a permit was issued in 2010 to replace the septic system with holding tanks. There were no previous appeals to the Board of Adjustment found and no citations found. When reviewing a special exception proposal for special exceptions in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including the conditions in Section 7.08, Paragraph 3, and the provisions specified in Section 8.14, Paragraph 3, Paragraph B, and 8.14, Paragraph 3, Paragraph C. Section 8.08, Paragraph 3, Paragraph A1 provides that a special exception permit is required for any filling or grading on slopes of more than 20% of any area that is within 300 feet landward of the ordinary high water mark of a navigable water. Surrounding properties to the west, east, and south are developed and vacant residential properties. To the north is Lake Redstone. Floodplain map panel 5511CO179E, the effective date of 12/15/2009, shows that the location of the new residence is outside of the flood zone. There are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. Lake Redstone is a navigable water and is subject to the Shoreline Protection Ordinance. If I could direct the board to view the photographs of the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1 shows an existing garage and house at that location. Those buildings are to be removed. Photo 2 shows the proposed building site. You can see the stakes in the photograph. That would be as seen from the southwest. Photo 3 shows the building site as seen from the west. And photo number 4 shows the building site as seen from the north. The town of Laval is aware that an appeal has been made to the Board of Adjustment for this project. And if we could start the video, please, Gina.
Plus Redstone Drive, that garage and house move north. Building site, post building site.
Those are locating the structure, where the structure is to go. That's my understanding it.
There are homes on either side. I believe so. From the east side, look at offensive site.
I don't know if that was something to aid people going down that path to the water or what that is, but I don't believe that that was installed by the surveyor or the builder. Planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the special exception permit. A, that all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing, and it is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval include land use permits for the construction of the residence and filling and grading. B, no work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment's decision letter and securing the required permits. C, that erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized or revegetated per the plan submitted at the time of the application. This project shall not increase stormwater runoff onto any neighboring properties. E, the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Ordinance. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power. F, failure by the applicant to follow all the conditions set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment as grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. Whether to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by the Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appear in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter. Yes. The only plans that we've received thus far on this project are the ones that were submitted with the packet, and it does show the existing contours and what the proposed contours are at the site. We don't have any borings done out there other than the would have been the old soil test for the old septic system, which is up by the road. That I don't know. I do know that there's a lot of rock on the site. Some of it's quite steep, yes.
Applicants, come forward.
Yes. Gary Buckneck, F-2452 Middleview Road, Batesburg. Well, if I could just answer your question first off on that issue of the stone, it's actually in layers and it is hard stone, but to do a boring out there wouldn't really give us what we're truly looking for, because if we start at the bottom of the excavation, we can generally peel that in layers back, as we've done on a couple other projects up there. So it isn't our first go around up there on the lake. You know, we've done two on East Redstone that are very similar to this project, both with stone retaining walls from the excess material, and both have gone through the border review and through all that. So I'm confident that this project also will follow that same procedure and end up being a nice project for the lake and increase in values. I am the contractor, yes. About 6 foot at its highest point.
This is going to be built from the topographic map here, apparently right at the edge of an existing property that pretty much goes down.
It's not straight down by any means, but it's, it's steep.
It looks to me that that backhoe crop built right on top.
Are you looking at the final grade page? Okay. Where that retaining wall is, those lines someplace between the outside of the wall and the top of the wall, you have all those lines that run around the outside of that wall. So what you're seeing there is the difference in elevation in a short horizontal area.
Exactly.
But they're not there now. They're not there now. That's what we're creating, is that if we're going from this slope to this, so that the final grade plan shows a level area and the wall, and then continuing down the slope that's existing.
Okay, so you're going to be creating a kind of terrace over the wall.
Correct. Yes. We have no. It will become a true septic field with the field up above. Above this existing house and garage to be removed. That's one of the reasons that garage, that old garage, is being removed, is to create enough area for a true septic field, so we don't have the holding tank issue. So yes, that tank will have to be pumped every 3 years. But I've talked to the pumper and to the septic people, and they're all in agreement that that is a feasible location for that tank.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Gary Bobcat. The issue of how long that storm's going to last. We're not using small stuff. This is material that's going to come out of there bigger than that table, more than likely. And it's going to be split in place with the backhoe when he's excavating. And built in as we go. I think the best way to show you, to tell you what we're going to do is to take you over to the to those two jobs on East Redstone and let you look at what we did there, maybe to build your confidence in what we can do with a natural stone product that comes out of those excavations. And yes, that is steep, but so is the open excavation of a home is steep. Basically, what you're looking at is ground level versus the basement level. And when you consider that, you know, a lot of that material, we're not even going to have to hardly touch other than just take the vegetation that's on the top of it off and build our retaining wall and start from that point forward. And as far as trees, we plan on doing that with the excavator. My excavator is very good at hobbles, and we've done that before. We take the excavator down in there, and we take the first tree that's in the way, and we take the boom as high as we can on it, and we tip it over. Those trees are not deep rooted. Those trees are have roots that, you know, just transverse the whole property, and so they tip over relatively easy. And it's a matter of directing them with the backhoe which way you want them, and then it's up to hill now. Not any more trees than we absolutely have to.
A little bit of.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Oh. I would close this with the planning and zoning. I haven't heard for staff. Planning is not that there's problems from the lake.
I'll check it.
David?
Hi.
Hi.
Close?
Dave Lorenz, Sauk County Planning and Zoning. This request is for a special exception permit to authorize filling and grading on slopes of more than 20% during the construction of a new residence. This property is located in the Shoreland Protection Zoning District on real estate described as part of the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of Section 23, Town 13 North, Range 3 East, the Town of Laval. There were no previous permits issued, no previous appeals to the Board of Adjustment, or no citations have been issued. When reviewing a special exception proposal for a special exceptions in the Shoreland Protection District, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including the conditions in Section 8.08, Parent 3, and the provisions specified in Sections 8.14, Parent 3B, and 8.14, Parent 3, Parent C. Section 8.08, Parent 3, Parent A1 provides that a special exception permit is required for filling or grading on slopes of more than 20% of any area which is within 300 feet landward of the ordinary high water mark of a navigable water. To the north, east, and south are developed and vacant residential properties. To the west of this location is Lake Redstone. Floodplain map panel 5511CO179E, which is effective December 15 of 2009, shows that the location of the new residence is outside of the flood zone. There are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. Lake Redstone is a navigable water and is subject to shoreline protection ordinance. The town of Laval is aware that an appeal has been made to the Board of Adjustment for this project and recommends that the board grant this appeal.
On their appeal, setbacks are not required during the 65 feet or
correct. The normal minimum is 75 feet, but in this case we can utilize averaging because both properties on either side of it are legal, non-conforming, that were built closer than 75, and so we can utilize those to reduce that setback. I'd have to look, but I think 65 did meet the minimum required setback utilizing averaging. If I could direct the board to take a look at the photographs, the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1, that's the view across the site from the southeast. If you'll notice on the site plan, there's kind of a proposed parking pad. That photo was taken from that location. And photo 2, that's the building site as seen from the west. Photo 3 is the building site as seen from the east. And photo 4 shows a view to the west across the site. And if we could take a look at the video. This is the existing driveway that services two other residents down the book on driveway. And from the site looking back towards road down towards the lake. This video was taken from the proposed parking pad. And that's neighboring residents. Other one comes. And it's big from towards the shore, back up towards the site. And
site levels off quite a bit, but towards the lake, and the houses go up.
Planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the special exception permit. A, that all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing, and it is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. County permits required for this approval include land use and sanitary permits for the construction of the residence and filling and grading. No work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment's decision letter and securing the required permits. C, erosion control shall be installed and maintained until the site is stabilized and revegetated per the plan submitted at the time of the application. D, that this project shall not increase stormwater runoff on the neighboring properties. E, that Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Ordinance. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power. F, failure by the applicant to follow all the conditions set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment is grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appear in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter.
Is it, standing here, is it in practice to go instead of
water? 75 is the minimum setback from navigable waters.
Right. And so is one spot at 65 and going the other direction. Said that, well, every structures near it that then right.
Yes, that is within the ordinance. You can average, but you even utilizing averaging, you can't get any closer than 50 feet. But it is within the ordinance that people are allowed to take the average setback of the of legal non-conforming structures on either side. Right.
Applicant forward. Mike Jones, W10508, Bell Road, Camp Douglas, Wisconsin. I represent the general contractor. Our case is very much similar to the aforementioned case. I guess the main difference we have is our property levels off very fast in front of the structure. We do plan on using stone for retaining walls also. They'll come off the sides of the foundation and extend outward. There is a driveway access to the southwest of the property that we can use to get in to the lower level. again, any trees will be taken out in a very similar fashion to those in the aforementioned case. We do retain the same excavation contractor. Yes, I have.
Posters to Lake County.
Well, we will, during construction, of course, we'll have our silt fence and things to retain any runoff there. There is vegetation, and it is a relatively flat surface extending outward from the property in the directional take. No.
The picture showing the house, that house with the garage?
There is no longer a house on the back.
The garage?
The garage, I'm sorry, has been removed.
Is there a fence?
There is a proposed plan to put it where the parking pad is located.
Yes.
Correct. Yes, it is. No.
That's all. Gosh.
Thank you.
Dave Lorenz, Sauk County Planning and Zoning. This request is for a variance to authorize the replacement of a warehouse workshop that was destroyed by fire within the minimum road setback. The property is located in the commercial zoning district on real estate described as E3761 Old K Road, Lot 1 of Certified Survey Map 1592, part of the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 27, Town 12 North, Range 3 East, in the town of Ironton. We have records of two permits being issued to replace septic systems on the site. We have no previous appeals to the Board of Adjustment or no citations found. When reviewing a variance appeal, the Board of Adjustment looks at several criteria, including unique property limitations, the protection of public interest, and the proof of an unnecessary hardship. Section 718, parent 3, parent B of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that for all Class C highways, setback lines are hereby established parallel to and a distance of 63 feet from the center line of such highway or 30 feet from the right-of-way line, whichever is a greater distance. The building that was destroyed by fire was built prior to Sauk County adopting the current ordinance. State statutes provide that a non-conforming structure may be rebuilt after being destroyed by a fire. However, if the building is to be expanded or the use changed, the structure would have to be in compliance with the local ordinance. It is proposed that the building is to be enlarged to the south. Surrounding properties to the north, south, east, and west are agricultural and a few residential properties. To the southwest is the village of Lime Ridge. Floodplain map panel 5511CO310E, which is effective December 15 of 2009, shows that this site is not located within the floodplain, and there are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. The town of Ironton recently approved the rezoning of this parcel from exclusive agricultural to commercial in order to bring the property into compliance with the ordinance. And the town is also aware of the variance appeals. And if I could direct the board to take a look at the photographs, the exhibits 5, 1, and 2. Photo number 1 shows the northwest side of the burnt warehouse at E3761 Old K Road. Photo 2 is the building as seen from the northeast. Photo 3 is the southeast corner of the structure. And photo 4, that is a view of the southwest corner of the shop. Yes?
Photo 4, what is
that? That's a, like a job trailer.
Oh, okay.
That's correct. It's on wheels. And if we could do the video, please. The building, Old State Road. I believe so. I have not seen a survey on them. But all of the buildings have been there since prior to the only president of the back to the south.
this is from the southeast corner. Planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant the variance. A, that all work on and use of the premises shall proceed with the plans and supplemental evidence presented at the hearing. And it is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits prior to commencing construction. The county would require a land use permit to be secured. B, that Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of the Sauk County Ordinance. The power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning, and if the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power. Yes. The building that is in question here is the building that's between the existing house and the existing pole shed.
Right.
Yes.
And that's where the expansion.
The closed warehouse shop, that is the one that's going to replace the damaged building that was there. The existing pole shed to the east will remain.
Oh, I'm.
Okay.
I do. My name is Tom Geis, representing Joe Street. My address, N1933, County Road HH, in the station. I'm not sure. Okay, you have a plot plan. That's okay. Yeah, the building in question is one that's labeled the proposed warehouse in office space, with the shop and office. And in regards to what's been gone over up to this point, and what we are looking at doing is using that same footprint. We would be coming out 10 feet farther to the south with that building in order to still accommodate two bay doors as far as you get each of the fleet trucks and commercial delivery vehicles doors. Yes.
Okay, just to be clear, when you said the new building be replacing the burnout.
Yes, correct.
That would be extended 10 feet
to the south, which, look at my, I do have a note, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just,
yeah. No, it's fine. Yep.
I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
In other words, where it says 27 feet.
We'd be not, yeah, we'd be, that'd be getting reduced down to 17.
Okay, so 27 is what it is.
Yes, correct. That's correct. Part of the issue, and obviously some of the issues we have on the site is what really makes it a unique site is the topography of the landscape on that site. As you look to the south, I'm not sure how well the video displays it. It's a significant and steep slope coming off the driveway area, and we do have a large area though that's grassed and acting as a buffer because there is a drainage or a draw down below to the south. So going all the way up and into that draw, everything we have in there is all grass and seeded down to handle stormwater runoff. And of course, part of that concern is you shift the building outside of there, is that now you're no longer able to get especially commercial vehicles around to there for deliveries and the shop vans as well. From the standpoint of what do you tend to lose more because now you're going to be excavating, filling, and certainly creating more of a concern for stormwater runoff and putting yourself closer to that draw. So really, at this point, you know, we're going to bump up 10 feet, but we're certainly going to. You know, we're certainly going to keep our green space above that draw. We're not extending that parking and drive area. I think from a runoff perspective, and not having to go. The only alternative elsewhere is certainly going to be taking out the prime farmland to the south of the, I mean, to the east of the existing post. Basically, what we're looking at doing is trying to minimize our impact on taking into concern all factors out there, not just the stormwater runoff, the ag land, and continuing with the commercial operation that's already in place.
Are you saying
I'm assuming we will be starting from the dirt up when they do the new building. With a fire issue, I'm assuming there will be issues with the concrete that is affected by the heat. That's correct. Yes.
I'm curious on the one that's labeled existing bullshit.
Yes.
And going then closer to the road to have a gravel drop.
Yes, I see that. Yep.
Is that you just have a driveway to get around building for a new park? This video I saw at least 50 cars parked there.
Yeah, I know.
Really quite close to the road.
On a video on the north side of the pole shed, on the roadside, you saw vehicles parked there. And then on the south side, that's that steeper, that drive does wrap around, but that's, I think the only thing that went up on top of that is where you saw the pumper truck parked in the video. But there are, during the course of the day, there are going to be, you know, with the size of the equipment he uses, there will be stuff parked up on the gravel drive up on there. Whether he's got the low boy and the excavator up there at certain times parked in there. But that's just one part of the business. I mean, it's pumping, excavation, the electrical, plumbing. So the larger equipment, the low boy, the larger trailers and excavators are usually parked over at that pole shed, at the cold storage. So...
Well, I'm just thinking that part of the reason for, building back from roadway is a matter of safety. And parking those large vehicles in the road and the pole shed for
I do understand what you're what you're explaining. I'm trying to see how the building that we're proposing won't have the large machinery part. It's strictly a warehouse, and you'll have the work cube vans pulling into the bays to load, you know, overnight, or they'll be loading materials. But even as you saw in the video, there is no parking area above that proposed warehouse anyways. That's all green space anyway. It's very significant when you look at it from the perspective of what you need to do to attain that 13 feet. You're going to come in with a large amount of fill to extend that area, to extend that. What you need to do is extend that parking lot so you can still get the commercial vehicles between the proposed shed and that drop off. So you're going to have to extend your fill quite. You're going to have to use quite a bit of fill to bring that up. That's a very steep drop coming off that drive. So in order to keep that access open, which he's going to have to for commercial vehicles entering, so that they can come in and off that road, you're going to put quite a bit of fill in, and you're shortening. You know, you look at I know one part of the public aspect of it is the setback to the right of way. The other part of that public aspect is still the resources you're impacting in that township or in the county. Again, being able to limit that fill, being able to give you more of a green buffer between that edge of the parking lot and that drainage way down below is certainly a good buffer for stormwater runoff. And there again, if we can keep our improvements out of that ag land as well, you know, you're looking at prime ag land and you're trying to preserve that as well. So it's an erosion control, it's a stormwater runoff that are both in the interest of the public. If the building wasn't wider, I understand that it's trying to accommodate the size of the businesses that are not right now. Not even looking at trying to expand on it. It's trying to keep it so we still have the service doors. These are codes that we have to meet on a new shed for UDC and everything else as far as what they require. What they require for two service bay doors when the shed was first built there versus what they're going to require now for the width of that pole shed building. That's what bumps us out 10 feet.
And what you're really saying is that you cannot build this as it is right now. You would have to make it bigger just to maintain the bays?
To keep the two bays as they are, like he previously had. Yes, we'd be expanding that footprint by 10 feet. There you go. No, you'd be looking over on that view. There would be his two bay doors coming in. No, I think it's the uniform. It's the code required for building the pole shed. It must the separation between the door entrances. I'm just going by what the building person is telling us on the specifications, what they need to meet in order to provide us with the two service doors. The bay doors wouldn't be any wider than what you see there. It's just with the specifications that they require now, it's going to bump our footprint 10 feet wider.
Well, the building, take a look at the picture. There's a four-wheeler side of it. Okay, so you're talking about extending the building 10 feet.
Right.
And
yes.
That
yep.
paved drive that exists currently.
Yes.
Is what this.
What exists right now is what exists now would be 27 feet.
Okay, so you have 27 feet on there. So you're coming out.
And yes.
So that would then actually you 17.
Still leave 17. That's correct. Yes, the existing pavement.
Yeah.
If you move another 10, then you're going to be down to, you know, then you're down in the single digits. You're going to be down to, say, 6-7 feet of pavement. You know, there's not much of a vehicle you're going to get around. It's going to eliminate. Basically, what's going to do is it's going to eliminate most of the. If you didn't extend your drive, if you did not extend the parking lot, it's going to eliminate the south side as far as commercial vehicles. The north side, you're going to face a lot of the same issues. Then you'd almost be pulling you'd have to pull the shed almost to the drop off now, and then you'd still, if you remember on that video, I'm not sure if you have a photo that shows north of the shed and how that slope comes down as well.
That's
making that area. Well, you're not obviously doing as much as on the south side, but you're going to be doing more regrading up on that end. To summarize the hardship would be the topography or the uniqueness of the site. Trying to accommodate and work with the slopes that we're given out that we have to work with now. Trying to limit our impact on the resources, period, as far as stormwater and erosion control on the site. And still be able to provide a viable access for what he has for a current business, for the number of work vehicles, employees, and commercial vehicles coming and going from the site.
Property.
Yeah.
Public interest.
Well, the public interest is certainly a strong point. Is the fact that you're trying to work with the resources you have there. You're trying to he's already taken a step years ago to put that green strip above that drainage way to make sure he's got a buffer there between the commercial and the drainage way. And you're trying to preserve that area. So you're looking at groundwater, runoff water, you're looking at erosion control, ag land preservation, all those are interests in the public. Just wider, the 10 foot wider on for the bay doors.
Actually, I don't mean to
Yeah.
Issue because photo 2 shows in that large dump truck parked parallel to the road, and it's within 50 feet. Concerned about all the people
yes.
having that vehicle parked at location so close to the road. I'm almost more concerned.
You're more concerned. But right now you're concerned about it, the building that didn't burn. You're
right.
Yeah, okay, I got you. You're concerned about the parking, where they're parking on the existing building.
Okay.
No, that's fine. I know. I was trying to understand where the.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have a question or comment?
When Colin Dalmico, we were talking about possibly moving the driveway to the north of this new building rather than to the south, so we can move the building more to the south. If you do that, you are going to be parking vehicles up by the road.
Thank you. Hello. My name is John Pearson. I live at E3906 Cemetery Road, Reedsburg. I am a member of the Town Board, and I am a member of the Ironton Planning Commission. Well, I'm here not only as the Town Board member and Planning Commission member, but also as a consumer or a client of Josie Plumbing and Heating, Plumbing and Electrical, and I think that... yes. The town board is in favor of trying to keep Josie Plumbing and Electrical in the town community. They're a necessary part of the community. They've been there for more than 30 years, and they service not only the township of Ironton, but surrounding communities, Reedsburg, Gasnovia, Pine Ridge, Laval, even in Baraboo. As a personal opinion, I think it's very handy to have someone that does this kind of work in the community with Joe's business at his home site. As a farmer, I know that not all of my electrical or plumbing needs happen between 8 and 5 Monday to Friday. Sometimes they happen on Saturdays, sometimes they happen on Sundays, and sometimes they happen on holidays. And Joe's always been very accommodating to me and to other people to try to get service to us during those typical business hours. Yes. Yes.
As a town board member, do you see a problem with vehicles parked too close to the road as a safety hazard?
Well, I've been by there and seen the road, seen the vehicles parked there, and it never occurred to me that they were a safety hazard. I've seen vehicles parked close to the road at, I know that only other sites in the township, but also around the county. I think if you limit the parking at Joe's Eats, then you'll have to go by Car Valley Cheese Factory and limit the parking there. And there are probably other sites in the county where people park within the right of way. We haven't done any car counts recently. We did one several years ago when we resurfaced the road, but it's not a major artery. I think probably it's not a shortcut to anywhere. I think probably the only traffic that is on the road is residents or people going to or from Joseph or the other residences.
Oh.
I can't say for sure, but I know it's been more than 30 years.
Anyone else in favor? Opposed? Here. This is what we're on because it is brand new discussion. If permits for something to build an existing foundation within a roadway after fire, look at 7.187. The structures are prohibited within setback lines. No building sign, other structure, parts or their part of thereof placed that's established by this ordinance. The highway, except otherwise provided in this ordinance, building sign or structure or part of the existing within such setbacks of the effective date of this ordinance shall be altered or enlarged in any way that increases or prolongs the permanence thereof, or be constructed in the existing location after it has been destroyed by fire, storm, or other catastrophes. Or more of the current market value determined by the local assessor, unless alteration, enlargement, reconstruction have been ordered by the Scott County Board of Adjustment public hearing. So it says no, but it says we can make a decision on that, whether it be three criteria or if.
Do you think it needs
a
partnership criteria? If there's been other cases of we've tried to help people and then the state goes back to we broke the law. I see that this is more of a convenience of location because it would save hauling in a lot of fill, a lot of additional expense. Not talking against it, I'm just bringing the what's happened in the past.
One of the unfortunate things is prior court case.
If they were to rebuild that next building, take it back, I think it's Bob. further south. Fight it. Arm. I am very having a building open where it is at home. I've stated it a couple of times, but I clearly have a problem. Location of thoughts. Traffic. Which is something that, so far as very
well, I think Dan summed it up pretty well. I already addressed my concerns with the hardship. I realize this is with a lot. There are other places in the county who have parks. It has a uniqueness to it. I don't think it would be impossible to
Okay, I really believe the building could be moved to the south. However, that's going to play a driveway to the north. Now, balance that out. I don't know which is best. The hardship is the fire, the new regulations as far as the size of the building. You can't replace the same building. But I do understand codes do change, and there's reasons for the change. I understand this. The uniqueness of the property. Here's a kind of a situation where the property doesn't allow a lot more ability for him to move this building someplace else. And it's been an existing business for a while. And I'm really not for forcing people out of the business, but I'm having a problem with the complete hardship. If we can accept the hardship as being the fire and the code change, then I'm voting for it. Stop there. But more than that, hardship, please explain that. Right, well.
Back.
any of these days, but this.
My name is Aline Boland, Assistant Corporation Counsel for Stock County. Okay.
We have a boat that currently doesn't grow setback.
How you determine what a hardship is? Okay, so there's an evidence that, if they rebuilt it, it wouldn't meet building code? Okay. To determine hardship, it would basically be whether the ordinance prevents the owner from using the property for a permitted purpose. So whether something in the ordinance prevents them from doing so, or whether or not if they were to conform to the ordinance, there would be the restrictions on it are unnecessarily burdensome. So it would be such a burden on them to comply with the ordinance, okay? Obviously, it has to be unique to the property. I know there are some unique features to this property, but that is one of the things. And then it can't be self-created. Don't know that a fire is self-created. Although, I guess in looking at this, what you'd want to look at is were they were able to operate in that footprint before. I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly they were, you know, the building codes, how those have changed, but if they couldn't rebuild it at all because of building codes, you know, that may be something. Like, if our ordinance doesn't allow it to be built legally, you know, that might be something that would constitute a hardship. But I'm not sure if that's what the evidence shows or not. So, yeah, I don't know if that helps any. I guess when you look at whether or not to grant a variance, you want to look at if there's other options. So if the property owner has other options, which one of those would be putting fill in, is what you're saying, then I think then it wouldn't be a hardship because there are other ways to go about accomplishing the same thing. Basically, when you're looking at a hardship, you're saying there's no other reasonable way to do this. Like, they have no other choice. We didn't create the way this property is shaped or look, you know, or whatever, and therefore it's leaving our hands tied, so the ordinance really is taking away our ability to use the property. So if there are other options, and they're reasonable other options, then that, I think, negates the fact, you know, the hardship that would be there. But I don't know what the evidence was, so I can't make the determination for you. I can just give you ways to look at it, obviously.
You said reasonable. What's your definition?
Well, again, that has to be something that you guys determine. Reasonableness usually is an ordinary person looking at it. Would this be an option that can be done? You would look at things like how long it takes, what the cost is, you know, if it actually is a good solution to the problem, you know, those types of things in determining whether something is feasible. If a lot of times you'll look at, you know, does the cost so outweigh the benefit that no reasonable person would do that, you know, that's one thing to look at. I don't know how much putting fill-in costs, I don't know if that's an issue. You know, is it a long-term solution? Is it only a short-term solution? That determines what's reasonable. Right, in determining reasonableness, then that would be something that you would look at. Obviously, I think anything could be done for a huge price, but you need to weigh the two of them to see, is the cost so huge that it makes it, in effect, stop a person from being able to pay for it.
The thing that I'm struggling with this, throw enough money at it, fill the backside of the slot up so you can move it, be legal. It still does not negate the problem that we have a lot that has a runoff problem. And the topography extends way beyond his property, creating a water problem. And me filling this land and creating a steeper slope, pours more water quite rapidly off this property onto somebody else's. Me, that's not reasonable. Am I on the right track there in thinking that, or can I even go that way?
No, I think it's something you can look at. It depends on what evidence you have before you as to what, do other projects do things like this? Has the runoff issue been looked at in to the extent that it will be, you know, mitigated. A lot of properties I know put fill in. I'm not an expert on this by any means, but, you know, looking at, obviously, runoff issues is something that happens all the time in construction. So, you know, can that be mitigated? I don't know. Or is it such a unique property with regards to the runoff that there's really nothing that can be done to prevent, you know, larger issues from occurring? But yeah, that's something that you can look at in determining whether or not it's a hardship.
If the
felt
well, again, I don't know the facts, but yeah, if there's a solution to it that is something that would normally be done in a construction project, then that would then say there's no hardship in that because you can do it this way. And that's something that is normally done, you know, it's not some like radical thing they're trying to do, you know. Right. Or over. Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question about
that is, who owns the property directly to the property line to the south of where this building is? Yeah, I'd like to have that answer. Guys. You said Spike? Julia Spike? In other words, it's not the not just the property line, he owns the property to the south, it's somebody else's property. Yes, okay. And then, how steep is that slope? Can you give me an idea from property line? Does it raise 3 feet, 2 feet, 1 foot?
Yeah, it's, you're certainly over a 20% drop, so I'm a soils guy, I'm not an excavator, so to give you quantities of what it would take for yardage to fill that up, somebody else might have a better idea than I do. I just wanted to know
if it's really a steep slope.
No, it is. It is. It's a steep drop off of there. It's over a 20% drop. So, and I don't know if there's a picture on there that really shows that, or if we did the video if it really shows you.
No.
So, I guess one thing is when you do look at the video, if you remember the cars that were parked there, you looked off the front end of those hoods. You didn't see ground. it is a steep drop off.
Yes. The drop off, was it man-made, created, or was it a the earth flood?
Some of that was leveled out from the original building site. You know, so some of that is filled there, but a lot of that's just the original ridge line that ran through there before it dropped off into the draw. You know, it's standard of a lot of your farm developments where the buildings and everything are up along the ridge line before it drops off.
Yeah,
that's
my question. That paved prime area south of the burned building.
Yes.
Is that much parking lot as it is right?
Directly south of the building, that's pretty much left open. If you've been to Joe's business before, you'll see most of it, if there's parking there, most of it's done to the south between the two sheds and the blacktop. Well, yeah, you've got, you know, keep in mind, if you look on the plot plan, you'll see where his fuel tanks or his above-ground fuel tanks are stored at. So for vehicle traffic in between right now, there's not a lot of parking directly south of the building. More between the two buildings and the area that's designated as paved.
So just as a question.
You have customers and clients and stuff pulling up in that.
Just as a question.
Yes.
If the new proposed building was in fact moved south,
up to the fuel storage. So we have moved the building about 25 feet and take off 10 feet for additional size.
Yep.
And then put a drive between what is now the green space and the building. And you'd have a 15-foot drive going past that building. Would that
if he had 15, right now he's at 20. If he moved back 10, he's at about 17 or so.
That fuel tank is about 25.
I mean, if he bumps the building another 10, he's going
to
be.
Move the building back to that point,
yeah,
which is 25 feet.
Yeah.
And then move the drive. And that road on the other side, if you take spin off of, still going to be left with an access area and still leave that green space that you talked about before. Okay. Leave that row alone, still have a 15-foot high access drive on the building.
He's going to have an access drive on the north side then?
The other side.
Okay. Yeah, no, I know. I'm trying to visualize the above ground, the concrete contained fuel tank locations on there in relation. Yeah, no, I know. It's concrete, but it's not going
to
be.
But then you don't have to go into the slope for the building, go into the slope, then into the slope for drive around that side. Simply put the drive on the other side. Trying to offer.
No, I know that. I understand. Yep, I understand perfectly. My simplest answer is for ease of operation, when not just cube vans coming and going, but especially plumbing supply products, electrical supply, commercial vehicles pulling in, then it's nice to have the more elbow room they have to maneuver, the better it is for them to access, be able to back in and get turned back around and go out onto that town road. Obviously, it's nice to have as much elbow room for them as possible. 15 feet is it feasible? It's a hard question because I don't drive commercial trucks.
Would rebuild the building where it is, or as it is?
No, it's the ease of operation. Like I said, it's so much of the. If it was just strictly residential vehicles coming and going, that's one thing. It's now you have pumper trucks, or you have supply trucks, you have dump trucks. It's hard to relate how important that elbow room is unless you do that for a living and you experience it. It's,
okay.
Thanks.
I know we carved this, how much I actually have to go down half a mile, say, around the road, back. I personally love to grant, I don't see a problem with it.
I think we all want it. Never.
Okay. One less year of bad news.
Yes.
With that,
go for it, both. Moving forward.
Dave Lorenz, Sauk County Planning and Zoning. This request is to modify the conditions of an existing special exception permit in place to operate a quarry. The property is located in the agricultural zoning district on real estate described as S3783 and S3852 Fox Hill Road, lots 1 and 2 of certified survey map 3841, part of the east half of the northwest quarter, the west half of the northeast quarter, and the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter, section 22, town 12 north, range 6 east, town of Baraboo. Permits in 1999, permits were issued for a concrete building and a conventional septic system. In 2011, a permit was issued to add a silo to the hot mix plant. Previous appeals, 5 special exception permits have been issued since 1988 for mineral extractions at this site. No citations have been found. When reviewing a special exception proposal, the Board of Adjustment reviews the proposed site to show that the approval shall be consistent with the general purpose and intent of the ordinance and to show the desirability of the proposed location for the specific proposed use from the standpoint of public interest because of such factors as, and without limitation because of the enumeration, smoke, dust, noxious or toxic gases or odors, noise, vibration, operation of heavy machinery, heavy vehicular traffic, and increased traffic on public streets. Section 7.05, parent 2, parent L, 19 of the Sauk County Zoning Ordinance provides that a special exception permit is required for mineral extraction activities. Special exception permit was granted in 2006 to the applicants for the continued operation of the quarry. That would be for a period of 10 years. To the north, south, and west are forested, agricultural, and few residential properties. To the east are quarries, forested, and agricultural properties. Floodplain map panel 5511CO250E, effective date of December 15 of 2009, shows that this site is not located within the floodplain. There are no mapped wetlands indicated in this area. town of Baraboo is aware of this appeal. This appeal has been filed with Stock County Board of Adjustment, and I do believe we have a town acknowledgement form with conditions on that that has been presented to the board. Now, if I could direct the board to take a look at the photographs, exhibits 5, 1, 2, and 3. Photo number 1 is the entrance to the quarry at S3783 Fox Hill Road. This would be on the west side of the road. Photo 2, that's another view of the quarry on the west side of Fox Hill Road, seen from the southeast corner of it. Photo 3, that's taken from the northeast of the quarry that's on the west side of the road. Photo number 4 is the entrance to S3782 Fox Hill Road. This is on the east side of Fox Hill Road, right across from the other entrance. Photo 5, that is the quarry located on the east side of the road as seen from the southwest. And photo 6 is the same quarry as seen from the northwest corner. And if we could start the video, please.
This is the quarry that's located on the west side of Fox Hill Road. For the taken here. Quarry on the east side of Fox Hill Road is also part of this. Back south. Quarry on the east side of Fox Hill Road. Ale house right there. South.
Our other quarries in this area, both to the be to the northeast and to the south. I don't believe so. Planning and zoning would recommend that the following conditions be considered by the board should the board grant a special exception permit. All work on and use of the premises shall proceed with plans and supplemental evidence presented at this hearing. And it is the responsibility of the applicant to secure all required town, state, federal, and county permits within 1 year of the hearing date. D, that no work shall be commenced prior to receiving the Board of Adjustment's decision letter and securing the required permits. C, that the site shall operate under the terms permitted by Special Exception Permit SB 1306, except as modified at this hearing. And this permit is due to expire April of 2016. D, the permit shall be non-transferable. E, Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning shall be granted permission to view the site to ensure compliance with these conditions and other relevant provisions of Sauk County ordinance. Power to ensure compliance with these conditions is given to Sauk County Conservation
Planning and Zoning. If the department finds that any of these conditions have been violated, they are hereby authorized to take corrective action, either through suspension of the permit, citations, or by any means of enforcement that is within their power. F. Failure by the applicant to follow all the conditions as set forth by the Sauk County Board of Adjustment is grounds for suspension or revocation of the special exception permit and possible enforcement action. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after suspension, the applicant must comply with all conditions established by the Board of Adjustment as determined by Sauk County Conservation Planning and Zoning Director or appear in front of the Board of Adjustment. In order to have the special exception permit reinstated after revocation, the applicant must appear in front of the Board of Adjustment for a new hearing and comply with all requirements as outlined in this letter.
Oh, no.
I was not at that hearing, so I would defer to the applicant, or we also have members of the Town Plan Commission here as well. I do. John Traxler, Vice President of the Algasser Construction Division of Massey Construction Company. My home address is 1177 College Avenue, Beaver, Wisconsin. I'd like to answer that question. First of all, the township was opposed to crushing at night. And the way they worded it wasn't real good in that town acknowledgement form. And I said that that's not a problem, and that leads right into where I want to go anyway. We started this request with the idea that we wanted to start the asphalt plant 1 hour earlier. And, of course, the asphalt plant is permitted as part of the same special exception permit as the gravel pit. I know it says quarry, but it's a gravel pit. And to be able to start at 5 a.m. start the asphalt plant helps us when we're hauling further distances. Say we're paving in Spring Green, it takes an hour and a half for the trucks to get to the job. With not being able to start the plant till 6, oftentimes the mix is not getting down there till 8 o'clock. In our short season, you know, we want to be able to take advantage of daylight hours paving, and in the heat of the summer, the guys would rather start earlier than working later in the day. As we looked at our hours of operation and thinking about some of the projects that can come up, there is opportunities for projects that have specifications that require night work. I can give you two examples in recent history. Last year we did a project on the interstate. We hauled the mix from our Dell site. The Dell site was in existence before all the zoning ordinances, so it's a grandfathered site. There's no hours restrictions on that site. We paved that job from there, even though it was a further haul distance than from Baraboo. The way it goes, they bid these jobs, you don't always have time to come here before the board and get your hours changed for one specific project. So we hauled the mix from the Dell site, even though it would have been cheaper for us to haul it from Baraboo. That is the only project that we've ever done at Gasser Construction since I've been working there in 94. I know everybody thinks we're just going to work 24 hours a day all summer long. I don't want to work at night any more than anybody else. However, if a project comes along, we all know what the economy's like. We don't want to have a restriction that might prevent us from being able to bid on one of these projects. Another project in recent history, they seal-coated the streets around the square here, right next to this building, at night. We don't do seal-coating, but if it would have been a paving project and the city of Baraboo would have asked for the paving to be done at night, under our current restrictions, we would not have been able to do that contract. So we would like to be able to have the opportunity to run at night on a project when there are specifications requiring it. So the two major changes we're looking for in our hours of operation is to start at 5 a.m. instead of 6, start the plant up. It gives us a head start on getting the mix up so we can get on the road quicker, and to be able to work at night when the contract requirements require that. In addition, many of you might have been up the interstate in recent years and seen that there is nighttime paving going on the interstate quite often up towards Tolma, up in that area, Eau Claire. They've done quite a bit of it. And I know darn well sometime in the next 10 years, they're probably going to overlay the portion of the interstate down towards this area. And when that time comes, we want to have the opportunity to be able to bid on that work. And if we wait till then, I guess we can do that, or we can just get something in our hours of operation that would allow us to do that now. Yeah, I mean, for you guys to enforce it, if all the hours are the same, it's a lot easier to enforce. So why not make it all the same? If it's decided that you want to leave the crushing the same hours that it was and only allow the asphalt plant to run at the new hours, we can live with that. That's not a problem. Correct. It's a perishable product as far as putting it on a road. We reuse it as recycle when it gets cold.
As far as the number of really cost 4 hours type of 30 days I guess.
Mm-hmm. 30 is borderline. On a bigger project, you know, like I-39 that we paved last year from Coma to Packwaukee, that took the better part of 2 months. It was 114,000 tons of mix on one job. 60 days we could probably work with. Yeah, typically first of May through November, mid-November is our typical season. There has been occasions where we started in April and went all the way till deer hunting.
The difference.
Absolutely.
My concern in that
and I worded it the project specifications, which those are typically put together by a consultant or the customer, requiring that it be done at night. Yes.
For backup in the morning.
On our plant loaders, we do.
What?
Dump trucks are not set up for that.
In other words, those things that include
it could. Hopefully they're not backing up at the asphalt plant because the way we have it configured, they drive around in a loop and back out the door. They shouldn't have to back up, but I'm not going to say that they wouldn't put it in reverse.
Bill Kaczmarek, E11294, Burnham Woods Road, Caribou. When I built my home on Burnham Woods Road in 94, I knew the plant was there, and that I had no problem with that. And my wife and I are a couple that like to sleep with our windows open, and we live on the north side of the road, and our bedroom's on the back side of our home. And that if we can hear the plant, early in the morning, but we accept that. But to go for a 24-hour operation, I just can't see it. And, one of the biggest things is just like brought up the backup, alarms on the loaders and stuff like that. I mean, you definitely hear that, without a doubt. And then you got the truckers, and I'm a retired trucker, but let me tell you, whenever their engine breaks, something's got to be done. I mean, they are just a nuisance, just a major time nuisance in that. And that's all I have to say is that we're opposed to it. The 24-hour operation. I'm not opposed to John Evans' operation, but there's got to be some consideration for the nearby neighbors. So that's the only thing. But I realize about, nighttime asphalting and what have you.
Where are you?
About 1 mile.
Being over across.
Is that something that could be avoided? It's something that could be avoided. These guys around here on their dumps, they are just totally abusing it. Just totally abusing it. I have a business over in West Baraboo, and they had a retail business at one time. And that when they come down the hill there from coming off 12 and coming down 33 headed into Baraboo, they used to rattle the windows on the store. I mean, jake brakes or engine brakes can be, there's different ways that they can be utilized. That a lot of these guys don't even have mufflers on, and these guys that don't even have mufflers and just have the straight pipes, those are the ones that will just rattle your cage. But like I say, they are abused around here in town, and even up there, there's no need up there. They're not going that fast, but, they come out of the plant, and they headed up the pit road there, and they have the brakes on. You don't need it. For what? I mean, it saves on brakes, I agree. But the thing is, they think it's a fun thing to play with. Thank you.
I do. My name is Randy Thomas. I live at 3150 Whispering Pines Drive in the Winsong Subdivision. We are a half mile. I guess I have a point of clarification first. I couldn't find any place where the current hours of operation are posted, both Monday through Friday as well as Saturday. Can somebody answer that?
Processing.
6 to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday. Loading trucking. Friday. Okay, thank you. I appreciate Mr. Tractor's comments on having an ongoing business and looking to seek opportunities for growth. I can appreciate that. I guess the next question I have for the board is, the initial special exception is for excavation. Is there still excavation being done at the plant? I thought that the pit was basically excavated to its maximum perimeter. Okay. Moving on, I guess, I'm in favor of opportunity and growth. However, part of the responsibility of being an ongoing business is to be a good neighbor and doing things that affect our quality of life. I moved to Baraboo 12 years ago into the Winsong subdivision for several specific reasons. Number one, it didn't have the congestion of some of the other major cities we've lived in, and it's kind of out in the country, right, nice big lots and no lights, and it's a pretty natural setting. I was aware, obviously, of the pit there and the areas of on the hours of operation. But currently, within Winsong and the adjoining properties, there's probably close to 100 families within that half a mile radius. So things have indeed changed over the last 10 years as it relates to the amount of residences that are in that area. No doubt that a stone rock quarry operation is a noisy, dusty operation, and that high dump truck traffic is indeed part of the business. However, it's already been brought up about the warning, the backup noise on the trucks that are backing up, as well as the conveyors and the crushing operations. Those are all things that the pit basically acts as an amplifier, if you could imagine that. So the noise that happens within that pit gets enhanced, if you will, and that's, I think, what we're hearing. I know the gentleman from Burnham Wood commented that he's a mile away, and I can only tell you that it's a little bit closer to us in Winsong. So, unfortunately, the proposal here covers what we would affectionately call our entire summer here in Wisconsin. So, instead of having a relatively long hour of operation and short hours on the weekends when we like to be outside and we like to be enjoying the area, I think it puts undue hardship on the people that live within this area. If it was during the winter, obviously, you know, when we have our windows and doors closed and we're not outside, it's like it would be an entirely different issue. I don't know if it's reasonable to ask 100 families to live in a construction zone, which is what going to a 24-hour operation would potentially put us into. I work for a manufacturing plant here in Baraboo, and what I recognize as part of Ganser's issue here is a capacity issue. And their way to solve this capacity issue is by extending their hours. However, if they are indeed hauling during this time, why couldn't they load trucks during the regular operation hours and then haul during the night hours? So that would eliminate the need for, and I know you have a certain number of trucks, but maybe there are more trucks that are available that could minimize or certainly eliminate the need to go 24. I guess I don't know how many other Ganser sites are available. They mentioned the Wisconsin Dell site, and I hate to sound like not in our backyard, but it appears that there is a conflict that appears to be growing, and I asked the board to deny the expansion of the hours because it becomes a who polices it? You know, who polices the hours, and how do we get closure on some of these artists, and to give them carte blanche, basically opening to do this, I think does put an undue hardship in, because it never goes back to the way it was. You know, if we could do this for maybe, you know, a summer or something, that this is like, you make your case now, and you accept it, and we have to live with it for the next X number of years. It may be convenient for the Ganser operation, but again, I think there's a conflict between certainly those of us that live in Winsong and those closer to the plant. Thank you. I am aware, again, because of my proximity and sleeping with the windows open, it's like, I don't know what hours of operation mean. Does that mean like at 6 a.m. you are ready to go, and or are you unlocking the chain, you know, at your gate at 6 a.m.? Big difference, because obviously an operation like that takes a long time to get up, you know, get up and going. So I understand what he's asking for. On the other hand, though, I'm aware, and more aware on the weekends when I'm home, that operation starts up before 6 a.m., certainly. Yes. Yes.
If there was any one thing that my policy practices or policy plan, but
it would be the noise, the nightly noise. the backup and backing up of the trucks, the conveyor noise, the equipment noise, basically. I don't, by us becoming the only 24-hour operation, I hope you can look to the future and see that, you know, all of a sudden, this becomes the gasser plant where anything that's happening in the whole area becomes an opportunity to put materials into that site and be transporting stuff through that site, and it becomes, you know, much bigger than it certainly is. So that's the other side of the coin, is they become the only 24-hour operation, and I think it opens the door unfairly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you.
Back.
Stephen Hess, S4113 Whispering Pines Drive, Bear River, Wisconsin. I do. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm going to walk a fine line here. I have a couple of hats in this equation. I am a town board member. I'm also the president of the Winsong Home, 4th Edition Homeowner Subdivision Association, and I'm a homeowner in this area. I'll start from the town board perspective. Obviously, the town has acknowledged the form of this, and I think obviously in the town meeting, the one thing that did come up was noise. There was concern about noise. One of the things, as a town board member, I have in the past received complaints about noise of the pit, and when it was happening, I did investigate, and if you notice in their application, they can run maintenance operations at night. So I'm not saying it was outside of the noise was outside of what is already permitted. That said, when those operations happen, people notice it. So these nighttime operations are noticed by people, and they have called me on it. I received at least 3 calls on this since I've been on the town board. Every time you've been, John has been well within his rights to do that. From the town board's perspective, it is, in terms of how they maintain the pit, it is a well-maintained pit. We have other pits in the township that are not nearly as well-maintained, and I thank him for maintaining a very, very nice pit in terms of aesthetics and keeping it up and all that stuff. As far as I know, we actually, the township supplies, where I'm walking the fine line, we actually get supplies from that pit. That's probably one of the main places we get supplies. That's the fine line of walking. That said, my experience on the town board with special exception permits are, and these mining permits, we call it a mining permit, and we say it's a 30-year permit. In essence, and as a business owner, I don't know if you want to ask him this question or not, but I don't know of any quarry that has ever closed. There are very, very few quarries that close. They stay open because there's a possibility they can use them for bringing other materials in. So the reality of this special permit is it's going to be there in perpetuity. There's probably no realistic expectation that this pit is going to close. So when you change these special exceptions, the reality is forever this is what's being put in place. Now, the extent, as it's put in today, this one that's put in, and as I understand it and read it, the application that's put in is to run 365 hours, days a year, 24 hours a day. Now, it's acknowledge that he probably doesn't want to do that. He probably doesn't. 10 years from now, it might not, I don't know who's going to be operating this plant or who that person is or what the economic situation is, and I think there's definitely potential in opening this up that this could become a 24-hour-a-day plant. Especially if this is a plant that's able to be open 24 hours and others. I think you mentioned that the one in the Dells was grandfathered in. I would wonder what would happen if you tried to get that plant open 24 hours. You'd run into the same sort of concerns about operating 24 hours a day. The other thing is, if you say you don't want to operate, there's going to be projects all over the state that could end up being coming out of this section. Now, there's trucking costs. I understand that's unlikely, but there's definite potential here that this could become a happen all the time, 365 days a year, without putting any more limitations on it. We can hear it in our subdivision. It does detract from values. This is from the homeowner's perspective and the town's perspective, these are really high, these are some of the higher valued homes in the area in terms of property values, property taxes collected. Running a plant 24 hours, if it ends up being around 24 hours, detracts from that value. That noise does detract from that value, detracts from people's ability to sell those properties. If there's no time at which they cannot expect that plant to be running. That sounds awful, but in theory, I could schedule a home, somebody to come in and buy a home in the hours when that's not happening right now. If this 24 hours was in place, that's not true. But it really does detract, has the potential to detract from the values of the home, values of homes in the area. So that is my concern, is that noise, which we can hear, is going to increase if this is allowed, and how much is going to happen with the way it's written. It's just written far too broadly. And once these special exceptions are in place, there's, what is it, it's a right of refusal, this will be in place forever. There's no, you know, pulling this one back usually. I've not heard of many being pulled back, let's put it that way.
There has a back of prior about 5 years.
Conveyors and or rocky material being put over things, so I don't know if that's washing or crushing or what. It's probably the crushing, but it's probably also, you know, it's probably some combination. I can't testify to what exactly it is. Just come back from vacation and walked in on this pretty much at the last minute. So I will fully acknowledge that probably after I had the packet was that day and I took it home and read through it, I would honestly say I would have voted the other way at this point. I'm on the planning commission also. Sorry, I should have said that. I was on vacation and missed that meeting and got there right before this was done at our meeting. So I didn't have a lot of preparation time myself. I did bring up concerns about noise at that meeting. The other thing is, I think from the town board perspective, I think there's a misunderstanding as to I don't want to speak for the other town board members here, but really what we get is a letter of acknowledgement that someone has applied. And I think we can put things into that saying we would like these restrictions, but it isn't really our authority to say yes. Am I wrong in saying we don't really have the authority to say no way you can't do it, or, you know, I mean, we can just give an idea, we can give our impressions on it, but it's not as if we're passing that yes, we should think this, that, you know. But we don't have the statutory authority to approve a special exception. Am I correct in saying that? So that's the fine line I have to draw. I can't go back to that vote and say, I could say that I will change my vote at this point. So I don't think so. Here's what I'll say to that. If this meant that the tracks, that this pit could not operate and that it could not serve the needs of the community in terms of providing, I'll say we need asphalt. We need these things in the community. But if it could not serve it, but what I heard even from there was, it would be nice. It might make us a little more money if we could operate at these times. We could bid on a few more contracts. It isn't that we can't do these things. It would save us a little money on trucking. So it's an economics. They're saying, hey, we can make a little more money to do this. It isn't we can't provide the service. There's no way for... I think you mentioned two projects of all this time. And those are so. And the really strange thing about that to me is saying, really what those are saying is Wisconsin Dells doesn't want the hassle of this. Well, thus, we'll do the pit operations down here and hassle, as Mandy said, all these 100 families for that time, rather than inconveniencing the people that aren't even in our township or county. So to me, that's a little bit of a, you're just shifting that. You're shifting the inconvenience to somebody else, and I don't really know what the fairness of that is. And like I said, it's not as if we're saying, I'm definitely not saying we don't want this pit to operate. I'm saying, and I think it's, maybe you make a different argument for this. This isn't the downfall of this pit if they don't operate at night. You know, at one contract a year, this isn't going to kill them. This is, we can make a little more money. Now, how do you balance that with, there's a whole bunch of homeowners in the area that could be really inconvenienced by that. Whereas there are, you know, so many inconvenienced, but I think with all, you know, they built these homes, they built these very expensive homes with the understanding that, hey, this is going to operate between these hours, but when I'm home at night, I want to walk on my backyard, I'm not going to hear it. And now, you know, what this exception does is changes those rules. It says, oh, sorry, you built your $300,000 house there, or your whatever the house there. We're now going to change the rules when you can operate, and the reality of this is it's 24 hours a day.
Right.
I'm opposed. Yes. Well, the problem I have with the 5 a.m. thing is, I think, and I spoke to the, there was a town resident that came and spoke to me on this, that the problem with that is, and I think Randy addressed this, if 6 a.m. means then the truckers start showing up at 5. You know, people are arriving there. Noise starts at 5 o'clock at the 6 a.m. time. Maybe they're officially not starting operations, but you backed it up enough where now there's trucks going up and down those roads at 5 o'clock. If you back that up, now trucks are going to be going down that road. When would a trucker want to arrive to be first in line? 4 o'clock? 4:30? I mean, it's no longer in control of you know, I don't blame that on them, but there's a lot of independent truckers that go in and out of these pits. And those independent truckers are going to arrive when they arrive. And if you started... If you move that back to 5, there's going to be times when those truckers are coming through at 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's a lot earlier. So.
Hi, my name is Kathleen Yerkes, and I live at 11396 Yerkes Road, Baraboo. And we were the property owners that are adjacent to the pit, and they also used our area for a pit at one time. It's closed now. But our sons have purchased that property right around there, and we have a land contract with them, so we still are kind of involved with this. And we do appreciate Gathers and Matthews for taking gravel from our pit at one time, and but we do have some concerns. the traffic in our area is growing quite a little bit on Yerkes Road, Pitt Road, and Cox Hill Road because of the casino and also the subdivisions. And we have a lot of, we are kind of a shortcut road between Highway 12 and Crawford Street. And a lot of people that work at the hospital come from Reedsburg area, and they use that as a quick way to get there to work. we notice on weekends there's more traffic casino-wise on Black Hill Road and Highway 12 and Pitt Road. We take it all into consideration during the week. It's part of
part of it, you know, but also in the trucks too, going back and forth. But on weekends, Highway 12 is congested at Pitt Road and the Highway 12 intersection. And sometimes we sit there because the stop and go lights are just up a little way from there. And so we're sitting at the Pitt Road an intersection for quite a while waiting for traffic to flow. And this would also involve the trucks from the gassers coming in and out from Pitt Road over onto Highway 12 or going straight down Park Hill Road to North Reedsburg Road, which would all add into the traffic congestion of the mix besides the noise. the other question I did have is, does this include other pits that are operating just hauling material over to gassers in this process? Because we do have another pit at on Yerkes Road. It's the Leatherberry pit, and they are constantly during the week going back and forth with dump trucks, big dump trucks full of rocks to be crushed. I wanted to know if that included them too, which we would definitely be opposed to having that on the weekends for the Leatherberry pit to be open. Okay. Okay, that was one of our concerns.
Yes. My name is Warren Traeger. I live at E10909 Pitt Road. I'm very close. There's a lot I would like to tell you.
Okay.
One question was, how would you people like to live next to the pit? So you take it along, think about that. And then, how many want to wake up at 4:30 a.m. every morning except Sunday? Aren't we privileged? Every morning except Sunday, and about 4:30 when the trucks come down, and the engine brakes start by Larson's Garage. And they will rock the house. And if they aren't going that way, they're going the other way. Coming back from the pit. And they continually use engine brakes. I kind of know that the gassers have tried to stop some of that. But they don't have any control on it. And so when they come down BD, I believe it is, where they get their Larsons, and they put on the Jake brakes, and they rattle everything until they get right to Pitt Road. And if they're not the other way, anyway, they're doing it the other way. Okay, now, as of now, the wash plant works like 24 hours a day. Now, they never got permission for it. I don't know why. I talked to the town board, and it sure doesn't do any good. I even had to count on one of the town board members. I took him right out there when they first started, and that's been quite a few years ago. And so I thought, well, okay, I guess there's nothing we can do about it. Now, they call it a pit.
but it's an empty pit. Everything, practically everything, is hauled in except sand. I don't know if John will agree with that or not, but that all the gravel is hauled in. And so, actually, what we got is some place where they're hauling all of the product in, then they turn around and haul all the product out. Essentially, the pit is empty from gravel. There's no need for those long hours. Tractors can only drive it for about 8 to 10 hours legally, I believe. That's what I've been told anyhow. So why are we 24 hours a day? If they continue to want to operate 24 hours a day, why don't they just move to the industrial plant and set up there? Now they're supposed to be reclaiming all the phases. Well, they haven't even reclaimed the what they call the pit, the farm pit, which was the old voice one. And they still haven't done that. And the next phase was the Heimlich pit. They haven't done that. They got huge piles of sand and whatever, and that was already reclaimed one time when Heimlich was there. They tore it all up, and it still tore up. And they haven't even started on phase 3 and 4, and phase 1 and 2 on the west side is, it won't, still won't grow anything, in my opinion. And on the south side, well, it looks like Mars, as far as I'm told, has said that you people are going to go out and look at some of this. I thought that's a great idea. So maybe you can go out and look at the south side of the pit, on the Heimlich pit, and take a look at it. If I'm wrong, I'll have to apologize and come back to you. I propose for time that they start at 7 and quit at 7 and then leave the 7 to 9 for maintenance. As long as they're just hauling everything into that plant, they do not need those extra hours. Now, we were told when they came out there that they, when the pit was empty, they were going to be gone. They were pulling out. In fact, I have proposals showing that it was all planted as a row crop. And that was in 96. And we're still waiting for it to be closed. I'm not sure how long we're going to have to wait, but the gravel is gone, so move out, reclaim it, and if any of you here want this for your family, there must be something wrong. Thank you. Probably, I hate to say this because now you're going to know. Probably about 60 plus years. I was there before. Yes. Yes, and it's a disgusting mess. What other pit? Well, Leatherberry Pit is on, excuse me, Leatherberry Pit is on the other side of the hill, and so I'm not like Leatherberries are looking down on, or not like the Earths are looking down on it. But I do know that Leatherberry will probably kill himself by the way he's digging down, but that's, I guess that's up to him.
No, I don't hear the trucks from that pit. Well, maybe I do, but how do you distinguish? And the hills and the well, they come over the hill and down from Leatherberry.
I do. Norbert Moy, S4195 Fox Hill Road, Fairville. We live about, I would say about two-thirds of a mile south of the plant. Okay. And we developed the Windsong subdivision. So these are my neighbors that live close to this. And I think we've always been good neighbors. I mean, the noise has been there. In fact, all of the road that's in Windsong, a couple miles, Rexler's paved it and graded it, and so we've always had a good relationship with them. But there's some really nice homes in there, and I still do have some lots in there, and the price of the lots has gone up significantly since 1994 when we opened the development. And I'm just concerned with what this would do to my ability to still sell lots and to other people to be able to sell homes and to put up really nice homes if they're not able to have the quiet time of the evening. There's some time when you've got it in your home where you've got to be able to have some peace. Especially in the summertime, it's so nice to have the windows open. At our home, we don't run our air conditioner more than maybe 1 week out of the year. Usually, there's 1 week where it gets really, really... But otherwise, the windows are open all the time. And it's... We hear it early in the morning, but it doesn't really bother us. But all night would certainly not be pleasant. I don't know if it's nice in the night. As far as I know, they are. I have not had any complaints. I really haven't had any people out of, well, it's 86 lots in there. I haven't had anybody have significant complaints about it. I'm sure the calls would go to Steve, and Steve said he's had a few. Thank you.
That is my category. Thank you. I do. My name is Sharon Terry. My address is S4016 Brennan Road, Baraboo, Wisconsin. I'm a resident of the town of Baraboo, and I'm concerned about my fellow residents in the town of Baraboo. One of my concerns is the past discussions with the Gassers and Matthews regarding quarries is that when you have a startup time of 6 o'clock, I was told by them that they can start their equipment at 5:30 and then they start work at 6. And maybe John can address this to see if that would be correct or not. Because if it was 5 o'clock, then it would be 4:30, which I think is unreasonable for the area. And the nature of road construction is that it operates during the summer, and that's when residents have their windows open and want to enjoy the outside, as many of these residents nearby have stated. And I don't think it's unreasonable to have some limitations so that they can have some quality of life. In many of our cities and towns, they have restrictions on when people can mow a lawn or operate chainsaws and some of this noisy equipment. So it's important for some of the city residents to have some of these qualities of life, and I don't think it's unreasonable to expect the same for our rural residents. one of my main concerns is by changing these hours, and I said it interests me, I am opposed to the 24 hours a day. As a board of adjustment, if you would allow a change in these hours, would that be setting a precedent for all of our mini quarries that are in Sauk County? Would Leatherberries want to come and have hours changed too? So I think, you know, it doesn't just, if it does set a precedent, I'm really concerned about that. So I thank you for your time.
I do. Address, Bill Scully, W14578, Highway 23, Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin. I just had to restate some misconceptions that were stated earlier. The wash plant area that we purchased from nearby asphalt, where the wash plant is, that property is grandfathered in, and we are allowed to operate 24 hours a day there. I am was the area manager since the pit has been out there. There was a crushing division. I take care of that. So that was grandfathered in, so that is why we run 24 hours a day. I haven't heard anybody state anything about hearing way at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and we do not run there, you know, spring to fall. We've watched there maybe 4 weeks out of the year, maybe as much as 8 weeks out of the year at night. Also, as far as the reclamation on the west side of the road, the far west property on the west side and the far north property, and we have 76 acres that have been reclaimed. 54 of them have been planted to corn and hay for probably the last 5-6 years, and the farmer that does the rent for land from us has brought that back, and his statement to me was that that land has been brought back to the yield that it was prior to us showing up there. That was his statement to me. Also, as far as the Heimlich property, yes, that was reclaimed a long time ago, and any of the land that was reclaimed prior to that, we have not touched. We have only crushed new areas that weren't crushed out earlier in the process. And also, you can look at the Yurts property and those people are here today, and we completely reclaimed the pit last year, and it's seeded and it's growing. It has to, the growth has to be more yet before it will be accepted by the county. But as far as the statement that no reclamation has been done, that's not true. That's what I'd like to say to you.
There was a comment made that the pit is used up other than...
Pretty much. Well, we still quarry sand. Quarrying is not just quarrying rock.
Okay. No.
Warren Traeger.
I would like to ask one question. What does grandfathered in mean? Now, when that wash plant started, when they moved that plant in, why there was never a wash plant there previously. I called Lloyd Du Bois, and I said, did you ever have a wash plant there? And he said, no. And the reason he said no was because we drilled the well there, never used it because Al Brown was, how should I say it? He had threatened to start selling gravel. And so the voices said, okay, if you sell gravel, then we'll put a wash plant in and we'll start washing the stuff. And so they made agreement. But that wash plant was never there when Du Bois was there. Now, I did not say that they did not claim any of the ground. They have the north side about 240s, which is partially, but I'm not quite sure. I talked to some of Howard Hartman's men, and they, not Howard, I should have talked to him, but and they just laughed. Now, I'm not quite sure what that laughter was for, but I don't believe it was for a fantastic crop.
Then come on.
I don't really know. I do know that it was, I have letters from Jim Hansen in 92 that they were going to reclaim the farm pit. And that hasn't been done yet, to my knowledge. I'll probably be corrected to that. But that was way back in 92 that was drawn up and reclamation. Nothing has happened as far as I know.
All right.
Yeah, and when was that? Yeah, but it wasn't ever there.
Right, but I'm not
yeah.
Sure on that part.
Yeah, but you mean the zoning deal?
Zoning.
Yes. Yes, and the wash plant was never there as long as Du Bois. And Du Bois always hauled their material to the south on Fox Hill Road. Well, it was before Du Bois sold it to Traxler. And Traxler kept their asphalt plant running in West Baraboo. Actually, Traxler started out in Baraboo. And then they moved out to West Baraboo. And that's where I don't believe. And then after it was bought by Matthew, and then Matthew moved it, and so that would have been after 96, probably 98 or about 2000, probably. And Matthew moved out the asphalt plant out there, and they said that, oh, the material's there, so we got to move the plant. But now the material's not there, so then they should move the plant away. And that's what they said they were going to do. So I would appreciate it if you'd try and make them come up to their word. Thank you.
Sorry, Steve asked again. So just after hearing the testimony, the somebody testimony was that these pits are expired. So essentially, the 24-hour operation, we're not really talking about a quarrying operation anymore. Really, in reality, now I don't know what, I can't define according to the state statutes what this means, but that asphalt plant is a manufacturing operation that happens to be taking place in an agriculturally zoned area. Because in reality, what that is, almost the majority of the materials that are there are hauled in, and the majority of the materials there are hauled out. I don't know what else you define a manufacturing plant is. So that is, it's even referred to as a batch plant. So that is a manufacturing operation taking place 24 hours. So I just wanted, somebody actually kind of said, what's going on there? That's what we're talking about, just for clarity. Right.
ignorance.
Without me having to read this question here, to touch this with Art.
They are considered a mineral extraction activity, but for batch plants, as you know, that's in an existing pit, it's considered an expansion of the use, and so that's why they're required to come back in for a special exception permit for that specific mineral extraction activity. Yes. Correct.
Where's this list of it was asked who police Dave would be one of the people that bought, but then there's no statement. I agree with you opening up 24 hours a day. You understand? I wish there was somewhere in our ordinances that it wouldn't be such takes so long to get a permit if they had a job, you know, that was going to last so many days that we could work with them. I realize it would be an inconvenience for people, but some of these jobs do have to be done at night when there's not traffic. But I don't know what the answer is.
I know what the world has changed to. You go into Illinois, many places down there, and I work only on highways. It's maybe filtering up to Wisconsin on the interstates. I don't see it being that big of a problem in the near future. It doesn't go on forever. Renewed on public. County work won't be that way. It's just state highways, a lot of congestion for 24-hour hauling time speed. As far as stockpiling in the back truck material, I don't think that works. But the shelf life, right off. So that can't be done. Another problem that keeps on coming up is this Jake rate. Just for people to understand, in Wisconsin, we have no law concerning muffling the Jake rate. Other states do. That's why you hear some trucks that are jake braking not near as loud as others. They're set up that way. That's something that we can't believe about.
on this board, but I think everybody more of a concern than brought up in the past. I would probably be in favor of something like May 1st through maybe October 30th. And I do like what Dave said. I think the ordinance rewritten turned night bathing, so it is controlled. I don't know how it, that's something that could be discussed, so we can't do that here. Another thing, I was back strobes on the trucks for night falling. I think that's something that just outside of that, I don't see this creating a whole lot more business from them. I just think the business of road construction has gone. Price of asphalt has gone up so far. Oil, so consequently, those businesses are looking for more work. And if you don't like the night work, all right, they're going to be fired up.
Thank you.
starting for 6 a.m. I guess I'm not in favor of making it an everyday thing.
We're in a dilemma here because I would say a 30-day would be reasonable, provided they could pick the 30 days they can run, because you're going to get a third of states working on contracts way out there. You bid on them. When do you get the bid in to know that you're going to have to get an operation? You may not have a 30-day lead time. Say, yeah, you got the bid. So what are you going to do? Go get a permit, pay for it, and find out you lost the contract? That's not a fair way to do this business either. We need something in here. I would say maybe we should try it for a year. Look at it, but I don't know if that's fair either.
I would like to act.
I have a full agreement with that.
John Trashler?
Well, I think in all that probably has a press.
Okay. As of right now, I do not know of any contracts that are coming up to bid for this year. So to do a 1 year allowing nighttime operations, I don't think there's going to be a nighttime work this year anyway. I typically have a 3 year window of what DOT is planning to do, although every year in June they throw a bunch of extra projects in because depending on how they're doing on their annual budget, which ends at the end of June, sometimes they throw extra work in. I have seen situations where all of a sudden a project comes up in the June letting and they want their payment by July. What you guys said about it's more than 30 days to do one of these meetings. By the time you go to the town board and get on everybody's agenda, it's more like 60 days to go through all that, just in case you get a project. There's a lot of factors there. As far as whether or not we're still mining, on average, 30% of everything that goes into our mix is sand. And we're still mining the sand and still using it in our mix. The option is to find somewhere else for the plant, and 100% of the material has to be trucked into the plant. So that's why we're doing that. I guess, questions from there? We can do that with the trucks that are under contract with us to haul for us, which is probably half of the trucks that are out there. The other half are customers showing up to pick up materials from the gravel side and the asphalt side. It's pretty hard to control a customer. Absolutely. We send out a set of specific rules to all of our truckers every year, reminding them of some of the things, and a lot of those things are things like that where we're trying to be good neighbors and make sure they're not calling on routes that we don't want them on, et cetera, and we can add that to the list. Like I mentioned already, so far I don't think there's going to be any 24-hour operations this year. There's no contracts that I know of coming up for bid this year. How are you going to prove anything if we don't do a night job? We've only had one. I've been with Gasser since 94. Prior to that, I was with Bearwood Asphalt Company since I was...
And wonder if
since I
could work. It takes 35 days.
Exactly.
This goes back to the engine braking. You said you can't control the customers that come there to buy product, but you could send your customer list a letter telling them it would be appreciated and to have good relationships with your neighbors that they would pull their limits or take break.
Yes. And other companies that are using that road for other uses should be told the same as well, such as Dean Bloom that just got a permit southwest to dump in the former Yerkes pit. I mean, who's going to be out there deciding if it's Gasser's trucks, if it's just FYI. I think that's the way it's stated in there. I thought it was. It doesn't say Monday through Friday.
Sunday to Saturday.
Okay. It wasn't meant to be that way. It was meant that on Saturday we'd be done at 3. At night.
If you look at 30 days.
Unfortunately, none for this year. There's a lot of times the state highway jobs in the last couple months. The other asphalt plant is a portable plant. That one moves around. Right now it's sitting at the Dells. It's going over to Richland County next to McMix. In fact, you guys approved that permit recently. And it's going up to Adams County for some work after that. So it's not always in the area to serve the same projects. I suppose we could put it on the east side of the road where we're grandfathered. I don't want to work at night, guys. Just realize, this isn't something I want to do. We just need to have the option to be able to do it.
We would have an option that we could postpone our vote on this and see if we can come up with something reasonable to work with this. It is new, and we're trying to force a decision today. You don't have anything going in the next 30 days, I don't believe us. I understood you right.
In the next year.
So we would have some time if we postpone this and work on a couple of these things. The jake braking, like in the village, you have sound ordinances. The county doesn't have that. So we can't post no jake braking on the roads. That's just something we can't do, as I understand from the state. So I would really, if you're not opposed to it, that's where I would like to go with that. This is planning and zoning. I think Dave's sitting here, I think you agree that we, I don't know, maybe you don't, maybe you think, well, we're
getting packed up.
I think they could take this back to plan as long as see if they can do anything. And if you don't have anything coming up in 30 days, maybe we should go 60 days. They come on back. If you have to come back before that, okay, I guess. I think I would not want to vote on this right now.
I'm going to be so compromised here.
think we can come up with something, but I don't think we're going to do it today.
If I may, there's one more option. We could strike the night work for now, and I'll come back in a couple of years or whenever a project comes up for night work. Correct. We're opening the gate at 6 a.m. Unless it's coming from the over at the wash plant where they can start earlier, the asphalt plant, we open the gate at 6 a.m.
That means you're not starting any machinery at that before that time either?
Correct.
Okay.
I think it's going right direction. Dave Lorenz, planning and zoning.
Things that this.
I'm sure that we would be able to take a look at that and potentially come up with some other ideas. I just do want to point out, though, that if you postpone a decision, you need to set a time limit as to when it will come back. Because otherwise, I've been informed by Corp Counsel, if you don't put a time limit on it, that is, in fact, a denial by Robert's Rules of Order. We have reacted to complaints. I think there was one up hit nearby that was there was complaints about them operating beyond or earlier than the hours were permitted. We suspended that permit. They came back before the Board of Adjustment, and but our suspension was denied by the board due to lack of evidence. It is difficult for our department to be able to monitor things that are happening either before or after, before we're open or after we're closed. We have to rely on, say, police reports or citizens' input, something like that. But we do have a record of reacting to those complaints. I would think that that would be considered as evidence that we could react to. And if it comes back to the board, it's up to the board to determine whether or not that evidence is valid. I don't know that we can do that. The board may.
Well, if, you know, like say we've had issues with an auction being held, and when there were reports of the sheriff's department writing tickets for parking on the road, that's certainly something that we can get access to those records and utilize that in a hearing.
Whether or not
I don't know. As to whether or not we can contact the sheriff's department to see if there's been any complaints.
I'm wanting to go in. There is a complaint. So,
I don't know. I'm not in that department. I would think so.
Right. Looking.
Or.
That's my understanding of how it's been looked at in the past, yes.
I think they've gone far, and if I will talk to them a little bit about that stuff, or no, I can do this, I think, for the
what is this? To me, I'm sorry, Randy Thomas. To me, it would be a total misappropriation of the use of our police or sheriff department. So, are you telling me it's like, instead of calling John, maybe, or I don't know who this is, but it's like, why would you elevate it to the sheriff's department for so that you have a document, and then who's going to enforce it? So, let's take this. Let's say they get two phone calls. Like, yep, they were opening up at 5:15, the police shows up. They're not going to be there at 5:20, or 5:45, or maybe 6:15. And that would put, yep, the plant was open, but it was 6:15, so I don't know. But let's say that for some miraculous reason that you call the sheriff at 5 o'clock, he's there at 5:15, and he confirms, yep, the plant, the gates were open, and people were starting up equipment. What's the consequence of doing that? You're going to go to John and say, God darn it, John. The agreement was you weren't supposed to do that. Or do you, I mean, you're not going to shut him down for opening his gates one time at 5 o'clock, are you?
That's up to...
Sure. No, I understand, but it's I appreciate that. We have. I mean, he's been the one that's been has received phone calls. But again, is that considered an official document?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Swear me in. Okay. No, I'm not. No. Yes, I do. Steve Cahoon, Tom Baird, my supervisor. My dad has best interest me up here. That's 5303 Haymine Road, Baraboo, Wisconsin. This situation we have out there has been ongoing for many years, okay? And like you said, we don't have these reports, but we do have the people that can enforce this. Steve Hess is in the room with me, Paul Hossiter's in the room. We've had calls at midnight, so on and so forth, to go out and repair roads, down trees, help our people take care of the town, okay? So there's no reason that these people can't get a hold of the town, okay? We'll come out, and if you call, you're going to be up. There's no reason we can't come to your house then. Okay? These phone numbers are supposed to be posted at the town hall. If you need a copy of it, you call your town clerk, and things will be taken care of. If everybody can get up. And we've been called, like I said. So that would address that problem, okay, of making the reports. Okay? These reports, if they were, does have to go to the county. Okay. Law enforcement does not have noise abatement equipment, okay? Because I've been involved with some noise abatement in the last couple of years. Okay. You would have to call somebody special, get a piece of equipment, and take it out there. So it's going to have to be a couple of supervisors and a resident, okay? Which I don't know about Steve's opinion and Paul's, but like I said, we volunteered for this job, okay? So the other thing is jake break, okay? As long as we're on that subject, okay? The jake breaks you can hear from many miles away, okay? We can post going in to there, okay, as a town. We can't post coming out because it's in a different township. We cannot post BD because it's in the county. And therefore, like it's been brought up, we don't have law enforcement that's going to come running out there and try to run down a truck that was doing this unless we have the information off of that truck in a specific date and time. It's almost impossible. We can't ask our law enforcement to do that. They have many more things they need to do. Okay? My suggestion is, get a hold of somebody in the town. I'm retired. I'm a supervisor. I've been willing to bend over backwards for people in the town, and I'll do it again. Okay? If you want me to go out there and sit, I will sit. You know that, don't you, Martin? Okay? It's just the fact that that's the way I am. I will help these people, and if that's what needs to be done, the board can rely on the town of Baraboo as far as I'm concerned, personally. Okay? If you have any other questions, the hours, okay, you brought it up. The state lets these contracts 90% of the time, if I'm not wrong, these will be state contracts. Correct, John? 90% of the time. Because there are city highways that do this. The county's not doing that because they do their own work a lot if they can. If that state contract would be in the SRC or Mavi, okay, would this board allow that? That's what's not being done. The 30 days, 60 days, give him 60 days if he has that contract in hand. Can we do that as an agreement to try and get past whatever Warren has for hours and whatever they have for hours and whatever the state's requiring on these contracts to get these jobs done, get them done efficiently, very cost effectively. Okay? So that's my suggestion, is that if some way we could come up with a suggestion, like I just did, that if this was allowed under the special exception, but that contract has to be signed. Can it be done that way? That's something that legal's going to have to take care of, I'm sure. Okay? The hours that are there, for the way the economy's been and so on and so forth, I see it as it stands. So what they've already asked for. Okay? We have to work with both entities. We have the town and we have businesses within the town. Okay? So we have to take everybody into consideration. Okay? We don't want to transfer like other people said. We don't want trucks going up and down Fox Hill. They've made that clear and taken care of that problem we used to have with the boys by using nothing but pit road. Okay? The other trucks that are not theirs or going to their plants are the ones that may be going up and down Fox Hill and Yerkes Road. Okay? So that's where we have to leave that. They've been bent over with us. We try to bend over with them. And once in a while, somebody gets you know what, and that's the way it happens. The 6 o'clock is what they have now. What they have already in effect, I see for it this time to be fit for what they're doing. The only other thing that I would change is, like I said, is if they had a contract. We don't want to put these people out of business if that's their business. We don't want to make them any more noise than we have to. Okay? So, we don't want it every day. Now, if I may make a little comment. I was employed by Perry Penny, and so was Norm Moy. I lived close enough to that plant. When Norm Moy's name was called at night, I woke up. That's over a mile away. That's all I got to say.
So then if I understand what you're saying, if you're adding all the
this is my personal opinion, okay?
That's funny.
Yes, that is my personal opinion. That right at this time, because like Don said, there's not a lot of contracts and stuff coming up.
There's nothing.
Then we hold John to his word then, don't we? Okay? I mean, that's why we have to work this, because that's what everything is based on here until we get to this situation. Thank you.
Contract of stuff that require 24 hour occupation. That's the income that trial based. So that you allow him that opportunity, but formal
permit to sell
Total of eight beds here.
I'm just going to the numbers though.
I'd like to try it for the end of their contract with this permit on it. Any other thoughts?
With that, our operation now on safety with the post. Thank you.
because it would make to adjourn. Your favorite guy? Hi. Aaron, no adjourn.
Because you people were adamant that we did not call in, and I have tried.